Hey History is a podcast all about Australian history, where the kids ask the questions. I'm your host, Axel Clark. In each episode of Hey History, we'll hear stories and answer your questions. Questions like...
Captain Cook, why did he choose Australia? Why didn't he choose, like, a different country?
What they thought of Captain Cook and his crew.
How would people communicate?
And at Hey History, we don't just stop when we get an answer, because...
How do we know what really happened? And is there another side to the story?
In this episode, you'll hear about how First Nations people and Captain Cook and his crew met for the first time at Kamei Botany Bay in 1770. You can listen to this episode straight through or stop halfway if you like. I'll tell you when we've reached halfway.
Hey, History.
First up, a question for you. Have you met someone who spoke a different language to you and you didn't know that language at all? How did you communicate? What was it like?
When I went overseas to Lebanon, I met kids and they spoke Arabic. I know how to speak Arabic, but not a lot. Most of the time we played soccer. When I wanted to know the score, I didn't know how to say it. And I used, like, hand signals. Sometimes I needed to play a little game of charades so they know what I was talking about.
This episode is all about meetings. No, not the boring kind that your parents or teachers spend hours in and say are super important. I mean meeting someone for the first time.
I would be really nice and kind because I haven't met them and you never know what they could be going through, or you could put yourself in their shoes. And, like, if they, like, look scary or whatever, you still don't judge a book by its cover because you never know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. This meeting in 1770 is pretty famous, and you might know stuff about it already. So, what do you know? In each episode, we pop into a school and see what they can tell us about Australian history. Let's go to...
Merrickville West Primary School! We're on Gadigal Country!
So, guys, what can you tell us about the meetings between Captain Cook and the First Nations people at Botany Bay in 1770?
They called the land Telmalius, and that means nobody's land, but it was somebody's land.
Captain Cook discovered Australia.
I don't think he discovered Australia. He just figured out that it existed, because people already lived there and they already knew Australia existed. He just discovered it for English people.
Imagine if you were just living your life and then these figures wearing completely different clothes just showed up and talked in an extremely weird language that you couldn't understand. It would be quite confusing and very shocking.
Yeah, can you imagine? Thanks for your great ideas about what the first meetings between the Gweagal people and Captain Cook might have been. It's interesting to hear that even within one class, we have so many different ideas about what happened. Now we'll leave the students at Marrickville West Primary School in Sydney. Thanks, everyone.
See ya.
Let's go to Kamei Botany Bay, just a few suburbs away. Kamei is the Dharawal word for Botany Bay. It's on Dharawal country.
Question time, everyone.
If I could ask Captain Cook anything, I would probably ask him, like, why did you pick Australia?
Yeah, great question. Why did Captain Cook and the Endeavour even visit Australia? Here's historian Paul Irish to answer your question.
Well, when Captain Cook left England, he wasn't looking for Australia as far as he knew. His mission was scientific. He was there to observe the movement of the planet Venus across the sky to help ships in navigating across the ocean by the stars.
Ooh, science.
He went to the Pacific island of Tahiti to do that, and once they'd finished, he opened an envelope of secret instructions from the English Royal Navy, which ordered him to try and find the Great South Land, which they believed existed somewhere to the west of Tahiti.
Wait a minute. Secret instructions? What, is this Mission Impossible? Captain Cook, your mission, if you choose to accept it. Actually, did he even have a choice? There is reason to imagine that a continent, or land of great extent, may be found to the southward.
Reading.
Yep. You are likewise to observe the disposition and number of the natives, and endeavour by all proper means to cultivate a friendship and alliance with them.
Interesting.
You are also, with the consent of the natives, to take possession of convenient situations in the country, in the name of the King of Great Britain. Or, if you find the country uninhabited, take possession as first discoverers and possessors.
Secret instructions from the King. So that's why the Endeavour was sailing up the east coast of Australia. What happened next?
Cook went through New Zealand and then headed further west and was the first European voyage to reach the east coast of Australia. When Cook sailed up the east coast, he saw at several points campfires or signal fires, smoke rising from fires on the shore, and he imagined that that was people lighting those fires. And he was correct, but he didn't really understand, you know, what the fires were for.
Yeah. What were those fires for?
Nagambi, my name is Ray Ingray. I'm a Dharawal person from Gamay or Botany Bay. And we're here at what our old people called Gundal, which is now Kurnell. We knew this strange vessel was coming up the coastline. We knew that because our relatives to the south brought up message sticks telling us this strange object was coming up the coastline, and it was being tracked by smoke signals as well. So there was columns of smoke telling our people how close it was.
Ah, that's what the fires were. Communication between different Aboriginal clans and peoples. The Endeavour ship sailed into Kamei. The Gweegal people had never seen anything like it.
Hey, I got a question.
I would ask them, like, what are you feeling right now? Because, like, a big ship's coming.
The Endeavour was such a strange object. You know, it's like if kids looked out their bedroom window today and see a UFO landing, that would be very similar because it was that strange to our people. And then seeing aliens coming off that ship, you know, how would you respond?
I reckon I would have been pretty freaked out, or scared, or maybe even a bit excited.
There would have been a lot of fright and uncertainty. So down this part of Australia, Aboriginal people never saw non-Aboriginal people before. There wasn't a lot of European contact, apart from in northern Australia. When our people see the Endeavour, we were trying to look at it through our own dreaming. And as the Endeavour crew sailed into Gamay, we were thought they were animals, or possums or gorillas running up the trees. But they were actually human sailors going up the masts of the Endeavour. As they got closer, they realised they weren't animals and they looked human, they looked like us, but they were the colour white. And they thought they were actually spirits of the dead returning.
Stories passed down by Aboriginal elders tell us about this first meeting and what the Gweegal people were thinking. Stories written in diaries can tell us about this meeting too. Captain Cook kept a diary from that time. Here's Captain Cook's diary.
Sunday, 29th of April, 1770. Saw, as we came in, on both points at bay, several natives and a few huts. Men, women and children on the south shore. I went in the boats in hopes of speaking with them.
So Cook decided that he needed to go ashore to get water, and in the boat with him was some other crew members of the Endeavour.
On the Endeavour, they had what they call long boats, where sailors could row from the main boat to different spots. And so one or two long boats came around to a little cove here at Kurnell and set foot on land.
As we approached the shore, they all made off. Except two men who seemed resolved to oppose our landing.
Captain Cook doesn't explain what oppose means, but other diaries from the crew say that the two Gweegal warriors stood with their spears raised.
Hey, I got a question.
I wonder why the two men stayed back I wonder what the two men were thinking.
So it gestured for them to go away, so they used non-verbal because they knew they couldn't speak our language. They were using non-verbal to tell them to go away. And we were screaming out, warra warra wa, which in our language means they all dead. Warra warra wa, warra warra wa. So they were telling everyone around them that these spirits were returning.
Neither us could understand one word they said.
Warra warra wa, warra warra wa.
We then threw them some nails, beads, etc. ashore, which they took up. I thought that they'd beckon to us to come ashore, but in this we were mistaken.
Okay, we're halfway through the episode. If you want a break, pause now. If you've just come back from a break, let's catch up on what's happened.
Hey, history!
We visited students at Marrickville West Primary School. They told us what they knew about the Gweagle people and Captain Cook meeting for the first time. We heard about Captain Cook's secret instructions to find the Great Southern Land, and then how the First Nations people up the east coast saw the Endeavour sailing up and lit signal fires to let each other know. The Gweagle people watched the Endeavour sail into Botany Bay. They understand the arrival of this strange object and its crew through their dreaming. They believe that they're seeing ghosts. They yell out, warra warra why? They're all dead people. Most Gweagle people retreat. The two warriors stay on the beach with their spears raised. Captain Cook gets off the Endeavour and into a smaller boat with some crew. They row towards the beach. And then Captain Cook steps onto the land of the Gweagle people.
As soon as we put boat in, they again came to oppose us.
Two Gweagle warriors didn't want them to land. Because in Aboriginal culture, you have to get permission to come onto someone else's country, and the Endeavour crew didn't do that.
I fired a musket between the two, which had no other effect than to make them retire back where bundles of their darts lay.
Psst! When Captain Cook says darts, he's talking about spears.
And one of them took up a stone and threw at us.
They were throwing stones as a warning,
which caused my firing a second musket. Some struck the man, yet it had no other effect than to make him lay hold of a shield to defend himself. Immediately after this, we landed.
They started throwing some spears, and the spears were just landing at the feet of the sailors. If they wanted to hurt them with the spears, they would have, but they were just warning to not come any further onto our country.
They throwed two darts at us.
Spears.
This obliged me to fire a third shot. Soon after which, they both made off.
The musket fire was a bit too overwhelming, so they went off into the bush with the other relatives going further to get away from the musket fire and the crew of the Endeavour.
Gunfire with someone being shot. Spears thrown. That's a pretty violent first meeting.
Hey, listen, it's really scary.
I'm so shocked. Wait, he just came and then shot someone. His secret instructions says I want to make friends. That's the opposite of making friends.
Because if they didn't shoot at them, they would have got to know them and it wouldn't have been a mess.
Can I ask a question?
I wondered why Captain Cook chose violence instead of, like, peace.
I wonder why they didn't just try to understand each other's language and what they both do and what they came for.
Sounds like it didn't get off to a very good start. What else happened on that first day?
I advanced into the woods. We found here a few small huts made of the bark of trees. A quantity of darts,
spears,
lay about the huts. These we took away with us.
The crew of the Endeavour collected 40 to 50 spears that they found around the campsite here at Kurnell. And under our way, stealing was forbidden. It was very strict, so you could leave your tools around, and no one was allowed to touch them. Everyone knew whose equipment they were. So when the crew of the Endeavour started bundling all these spears up, our people were watching that.
Gunfire, spears thrown, some questionable present decisions, and now stealing stuff.
They bundled up those 40 to 50 spears and they transported them back to England, put into Cambridge University over in England. Four spears still remain today. Our elders have campaigned for the return of those spears for a while.
And guess what? Those four spears are now back home in Australia, thanks to 30 years of work by the La Perouse community. You can see a photo of the Gweagle spears on the Hay History website or in your podcast app. Now, let's go back to Kamei in 1770. Captain Cook and his crew stayed for over a week.
Monday, 30th of April, 1770. In the afternoon, 16 or 18 natives came boldly up to within 100 yards of our people at the watering place. Mr. X, who was the officer ashore, did all in his power to entice them by offering them presents. But all they seemed to want was for us to be gone. Tuesday, 1st of May, 1770. This morning, a party of us went ashore to some huts. Here, we left several articles, such as cloth, looking glasses, combs, beads, and nails.
They came into a camp that was nearby here. A lot of the adults and children moved off further into the bush, and those that stayed behind, they tried to provide little trinkets, necklaces and stuff, but they weren't interested in that.
Sunday, 6th of May, 1770. During our stay in this arbour, I caused the English colours to be displayed ashore every day, and an inscription to be cut out upon one of the trees near the watering place, setting forth the ship's name, date, etc.
So Captain Cook raised the English flag on every day of his visit to Kamei Botany Bay.
The natives not so much as touched the things we had left in their huts on purpose for them to take away. We could know but very little of their customs, as we were never able to form any connections with them.
And any attempt during that 8 days to make contact or to communicate with our old people failed because our people didn't want to experience that same experience that happened on the first day.
After that first meeting, Cook had a very frustrating 8 days. He desperately wanted to talk to Aboriginal people. Whenever he or others saw them and tried to approach them, they moved away. And as a result, there was no conversation. Apart from those first words, Warra Warra Wai, no one on the Endeavour recorded a single word more of the local Aboriginal language.
Having seen everything this place afforded, we at daylight in the morning put to sea.
So Cook left after 8 days. He'd carried out his secret mission to find the Great South Land. What about the other parts of his secret mission?
To make a friendship, to show them every kind of civility, to take possession for His Majesty if you find the country uninhabited.
Cook must have seen that Australia was already very, very inhabited, but he still claimed the east coast of the continent for Britain after he left Botany Bay. And he declared Australia was terra nullius, which means land belonging to nobody, or nobody's land.
Nobody's land.
But it was somebody's, Captain Cook sails off further up the east coast of Australia. And those 8 days of his visit, that's the first meeting between Captain Cook and the First Nations people of Australia. Here's Ray Ingray.
We look at those 8 days and think, what a lost opportunity. We would have learnt so much more in that 8 days if they would have done the encounter a little bit better.
And Paul Irish says,
when we think about meetings like this, we get a really good example of what happens when two completely different cultures meet, when they can't speak to each other. Cook didn't understand their culture. The other thing that Cook didn't understand was that the warriors had deliberately not injured him. We can also see that Cook thought that he had a right to take the water and the right to land on the lands of another people. So that was already setting up a conflict that perhaps he should have been able to understand, but didn't.
That changed life forever for us. And even though that changed life forever, our old people that continue to live on our country, to live in the world that we're living, it doesn't mean that we have to give up our own Aboriginal identity or our Dharawal ways. It just means we have to balance both worlds now. So we still need to be Dharawal people. We still need to be speaking our language, practicing our cultural practices, but also to succeed in the Australian way as well.
Isn't it crazy to think that those 8 days at Botany Bay, where the Gweagal people and Captain Cook and his crew met each other for the first time, those 8 days changed Australian history forever? Thanks for listening to Hey History. You can see those amazing Gweagal fishing spears and more on our website, heyhistory.net. If you're a teacher, there's a lesson plan to use with this episode, including one about those fishing spears. And there's a bunch of links to activities, games, and resources on the first meetings in Kamay, Botany Bay. Hey, have you heard about other episodes of Hey History? You can listen to them in any order. There's The Oldest Classroom, Convict Kids, and Gold Fever, and a bonus episode for your teacher, How to Talk with Kids About Australian History.
Hey History!
Hey History is made on Gadigal Country by Anna Clark, Claire Wright, Jane Curtis, and Britta Jorgensen. It's endorsed by the History Teachers Association of New South Wales. And your host is me, Axel Clark. Executive producers are Claire Wright and Anna Clark. Claire Wright is Professor of History and Public Engagement at La Trobe University.
Hey, History!
Anna Clark is Professor of History at the University of Technology, Sydney. Podcast concept, design and development by Anna Clark. Indigenous cultural consultant is Katrina Thorpe. Story editor is Kyla Slavin. Learning material by Nick Adeney. Thanks to all the students whose voices you hear in this episode and their schools and teachers. Princess Street Primary School in Sandy Bay, Marrickville West Primary School, Westbourne Grammar School, Presshill Primary School, La Perouse Primary School, and Yirrkala Bilingual School. Hey History is produced by the Australian Centre for Public History and Impact Studios at the University of Technology, Sydney. Impact Studios' executive producer is Sarah Gilbert.